T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
Good morning, Portland. This is not the voice of Dusty Hera. I apologize. He picked the Ducks, so he's feeling a little blue.
Don't be confused, folks. Don't be confused. This is what happens when you have a rough weekend.
I am Luke Anderson, filling in for Dusty Hera with Cam Cleland and Alex Crawford. An honor to be here.
No, we hope so Dusty feels better. He ended up with the rest of his family. They got caught up in a flu-like. I don't know. It's a flu-like facility. They
some just sort got of obliterated. Epidemic in yeah, the Hera household.
We hope they're okay.
Swine bird flu.
Like anybody's dying
that we
not
know
yet.
And we certainly hope not.
We hope not. That's not ready for that one yet.
Well, fun weekend in sports. So thank you for choosing a day where it will literally be just moving aside and letting you yell Huskies for 3 hours. So that should be pretty.
A lot of go dog morning. Chants going on during this. No, we won't be doing that.
There's a possibility.
There might be a few.
Cam, you were at the game.
I was at the game.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time. Took my son down there, my oldest son, Royce. We had some buddies down there. I sat right next to the band. That would be the Husky band.
Oh, okay.
With a lot of Duck fans around, too. We all got along. There wasn't a bad experience.
Excellent.
There was a lot of downtrodden faces. A lot of underestimating that they were that good. And, yeah, just kind of...
underestimating that they're that good or that
bad? The Huskies
bad.
Were that good.
Well, yeah, but... also, was there some overestimation on the
little bit of
the competition level that the Ducks were ready
so.
To bring?
You know what?
Because you don't have, I'm sorry, you don't have a whooping like that unless you're wrong in both directions.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed if you're a Duck fan. And we're going to get to that today because we're going to have some fun with that.
I think we probably should. But let's start with the wake-up call.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, let's start this day in history. Gentlemen, this is the last, this day in 1977 was the last NFL game played by Joe Namath. But it was also the first NHL game played by Mark Messier.
How about that? Who did he put with Joe Namath? Wait a minute. Don't tell me. Who was it? It wasn't the Dolphins, was it? No. Who did he play with his last game?
You know what? They did not give me that stat. I just have the
because he
NFL.
Did. It was the Jets, but then he got released and went somewhere else. I want to say it might have been the Rams.
I think it is. The Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah, at the time.
That makes sense. We'll fact check that for everybody. Yeah. And then Mark Messier, I do have that for the Edmonton Oilers, and they went on to win championship after championship after championship.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, getting a little bit exciting. Cam, I know that you love yourself some golf. Are you excited for Tiger Woods to be playing in the Safeway?
My pants a little bit tight for Tiger coming back. Did you also see who he's paired with?
Well, this is what I wanted to get to. Mm-hmm. The PGA is also very excited. There's two pairings that are particularly exciting to me. So for the actual tournament paired with Phil Mickelson, you know the PGA is excited about this. Did you see who he's paired with for the Pro-Am?
No.
Steph Curry.
Come on.
They are getting... all the miles they can out of Tiger Woods.
They are using
every part of his fame and back he has left and using it to promote golf.
I kid you not. This Safeway Club, I think it's the Safeway Open.
Safeway Open.
Will have bigger ratings than every other major this year.
You know the amazing thing is?
Just because of one man.
Yeah. All the young talent that you have in golf, the future of golf being played out now in front of us, Tiger Woods still owns
41-year-old moves the needle.
He owns that
He's
sport.
Not 41 yet. It's coming.
He will be.
December.
Yeah. We all will be, I suppose.
Time to wake up.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
At the start of the season, the Browns were going on their 25th quarterback since they came back in the league in 1999. You had Robert Griffin III, 25. Then Josh McCown has already played for them, so he doesn't count, but played this year. Cody Kessler plus Charlie Whitehurst, throw in Terrell Pryor. 28 quarterbacks for the Browns since 1999.
How about this? There's a little stat for you. I was part of Tim Couch's opening year in 1999 as a rookie. He threw a Hail Mary against me and won it in the last second as the Saints to their first win. So, yeah, I feel very proud that I've been a part of the Browns debacle and seen them on the winning side, I guess. But 200 later, how many more are they going to have?
Oh, 30? There doesn't seem to be end in sight. I mean, people are going, oh, Kessler looks like he's going to be okay. No, done.
I feel bad for that franchise.
Whitehurst, done. If you can't get a quarterback, you can't really have a lot of success.
Where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's where they start to die.
Hey, wake up. I said wake up.
More great quarterback news. If it wasn't bad enough that the Texans are paying $18 million to Brock Osweiler, care to venture how much the Broncos are paying for both of the starters that they have played this year so far?
Let me round
this. So Paxton Lynch played this weekend, and then we had Trevor Siemian, who started the first four games.
I'm going to throw a number out that I think it's under $2.5 million for both.
Try $950,000. It's not even $1 million for the two quarterbacks they have playing. They offered $16 million to Brock Osweiler. He turned it down to take the $18 million, and the Broncos are thanking them every moment of the day.
You know what? Both guys are brilliant. John Elway said, we're not going to spend that, and Brock Osweiler said, I will take that.
I am not worth that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he took off. And at one point during the second quarter of the game yesterday where they're just getting pummeled by the, I'm sorry, who? The Vikings, who are now the best team in football. Yeah. He had 7 yards midway through the second quarter yesterday. Oh, it is ugly. And speaking of teams that can't get quarterbacks, the Texans. All right, let's get to the final one here.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
Cam, I know I'm supposed to do some talking here.
Okay.
70-21. I will cede the rest of my time to you. You go, sir.
70. Just say that number with me. 70.
70. The most points scored on the Ducks since December 9th, 1941, when Texas beat them. Scored 71 on them.
70. I walked into this stadium, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a battle. Did not foresee 70. I thought I saw 50, sure. But not 70.
Yeah, maybe a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be kind of similar to what Washington State game was. You know, 50s, 40s. Oregon was going to put up their scores. And you know what? No way in your right mind did I think that Washington was going to be able to do that. But
even if
70
thought,
burger. Yeah. 70 burger Crawford. He's on the phone. He's too busy.
Even if you thought it was a repeat of what happened to Stanford. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's 44?
No.
I mean, no. They just... I mean, we have the entire show to get into
this. We're gonna let you two out there,
please. Just,
whatever you feel like today. I mean, what does it make you feel? We'll be getting that later in the show too. State of the program, both Ducks and Beavers. But that 70-point loss, could it be the worst thing you've ever seen?
Has there ever been more of a Monday for Ducks fans?
Oh,
I mean, this. Remember this? Just a cycle of Duck fandom. You know, you talk about, you know, a history of this program where it's never really been great until the 90s. They start to get good. And then they, you know, start to get better. And now all of a sudden Chip Kelly comes in. They're a national title contender.
Right.
And now, I mean, is this just a slippery slope? Or is this, you know, just a hiccup in the plan? Yeah. Helfrich has everything under control. Yeah.
Certainly.
Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to see here. Moving on.
Yeah,
no worries.
Just a loss.
Right.
But the thing is, you really think about it. You go, when was the last time you've seen the Ducks get whooped like this? It's not that long ago. How about 62 by Utah last year?
Yeah, we've had some catastrophic losses at Autzen that nobody ever thought they would see.
Yeah.
Ever.
Sure.
Ever.
And it's you know, we can say that the world is burning down, but right now you've got, you know, Stanford looked like a huge win for the Huskies, right? They go out and they beat a team that's, you know, on top of the world. They just lost to Washington State.
Yeah. I think that's one of the bigger critical things that's happening in the Pac-12, and we get to talk about that later, is watching these supposedly high-ranked, big-time teams just get dismantled.
Well, yeah, who are the good teams right now?
Right.
I mean, it's difficult to know. I mean, you have Washington State comes in. They have two losses in the non-conference, one to an FCS school.
God, if Cougars, if you could just figure out how to start.
Chaos.
Aren't you just absolutely blown away that the Cougars can't figure out how to start a season where they'd be a top 10 team? Honestly, think about it.
It's two years in a row.
Uh-huh.
It's absolute chaos. So now you think you have a grasp on it. Coming into this weekend, you feel like you have a pretty good idea. Washington's good because they beat Stanford. Stanford's a good team.
Maybe not.
I mean, how good are the Ducks? The Ducks, after their loss to Utah last year, that's when they started beating all the teams that were playing in the Pac-12 championship. I mean, they finished out strong. It looks like you may have something there with your freshman quarterback.
Maybe. Your defense is
atrocious.
The worst defense I've seen since
Rutgers.
I don't know. For a Pac-12 defense. That's a shame.
It's Rutgers. I think we could say maybe the quarterback wasn't the issue.
No.
Maybe.
I'm guessing that it's cornerback maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. Just
I saw fade routes with 5 yards of gap on the 3-yard line fade routes. Corners, not even close.
This is just the setup part of it. We got to get into this game.
We're going to have some fun.
I mean, it's going to be fun. Big win for the Beavs there, Crawford, too.
I'm stoked, man.
Orange and black, first win in 12 tries. Good job, Gary Anderson, with his first win there.
I'm trying to crunch the numbers in here and figure out when the last time we had a Monday when the Beavs won and the Ducks lost.
Yeah, what we were trying to figure out is when the last time it was all three of the other Northwest schools winning and the Ducks losing.
Yeah.
You have to remember Washington State, Oregon State, and the only failure goes to the Ducks.
I just said to our TV producer, Kirshner, I'm like, it's been a long time since we did a show like this. And then I was like, I actually don't know if we ever have.
We've never done a show.
Oh, I'm sure you haven't.
That's crazy.
We're going to relish in this.
It'll be fun. There's a lot to get to, though. We have one of the series already over in baseball. We've got to talk a lot of college football. We got a lot of NFL to get to. We will kind of talk about a man that is maybe turning his legend even greater.
Bigger.
But you play the Browns. I mean, maybe that's not that big of an issue. But we've got a lot to get to, and we will start with Ducks and Huskies when we return. A lot more Dusty and Cam with me, Luke Anderson, when we return. This is 1080 The Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Good morning, no Dusty Hera. He has typhoid?
No, he's died.
Oh,
no,
he's
I'm
dead.
Kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. He's fine.
Okay.
I think he's just recovering from a really rough weekend. The flu might have hit the household.
Okay.
Just a huge
flu
epidemic.
A huge flu came in.
Is there
in.
Such thing as a small flu?
I don't think.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can have a little flu.
Have you ever had the 24-hour?
Symptoms? Yeah. I think you get that, the flu-like symptoms, but that put Gary Kubiak in the hospital this weekend.
Yeah.
So. You don't mess around with the flu if it hits you.
Yeah.
Are you flu shot guys?
I'm not.
Never had a flu shot.
I had a flu shot one time in 1998, and I remember it specifically.
Gave you the flu, right?
I was almost died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're injecting the flu into you.
That's what it is. It was awful.
It's never worked for me. I always get the flu worse. The years when I get the flu shot, or just as bad.
I think maybe it's better for the olders, for the olds.
Yeah.
And the youngs.
I call them the olds and the youngs.
We're in the middle.
We're in the middles.
Yeah, it's the fragile. It's the fragility that you need to take
fragile.
Care of.
Fragile.
You got to look at the flu in the eye and say, bring it on.
Oh, it's Italian. It's fragile.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, fragile.
Yeah, never had a flu shot. No. You know, you get the flu, you fight it out, and you move on with your day.
So heal fast, young man. I wish you luck out there.
We'll think about
chicken
you all
soup
day.
Chicken soup and some ice chips.
Yeah. But, you know, even with the flu, not the worst weekend anybody had.
No. No.
We will get to Cal losing to the Beavers later. We will get to the NFL. We'll get to the Major League Baseball playoffs. There's a lot to talk about. But I think we would be making a mistake if we didn't address, you know, at least what our fans demand on the text line 55305 if you'd like to join the conversation. But everybody wants to hear your thoughts on exactly what happened at Autzen Stadium. You were there live, Cam Cleland. Tell us what the weak spots are for the Huskies, because there don't appear to be any.
Well, going into that game, I didn't expect this kind of game. I really didn't. As many times as I've played in rivalry
games. You used
games.
A word in there that I'm not sure actually fits. You said game. Was this a game?
Well, yeah, I guess it was...
I mean, in the technical sense of the words, but in the competition sense.
In the competition sense, no, it was over from the very first play of the game. It really was from the first throw, and not that it was a bad throw. You could just tell the momentum of the game.
Well, they were already down 7-0 at that point, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like you were going to sit here, and when I saw the line, I remember the line, it was 8.5, moved all the way to 10 as it moved all the way around, and you just go, okay, this is a rivalry game. There's no way it's going to get out of control.
Yeah.
35-7 in the first half. I mean, there were glimmers of hope, and you get to say the first rush. I think when Royce Freeman went down and there was that fumble.
Yeah.
That was a very critical play in that game because you could see the momentum starting to shift a little bit for Oregon.
Sure, you get your best player. Yeah. You get your best player out on the edge with space and going to make a play and drops the ball.
I mean, it just had that, and you could just see the gaps in how bad the Duck defense. I think that to me is the most glaring thing if you're watching or waking up today and want to talk about football is just how bad that defense is and how hurt they are with guys that have been kicked out. Not only just kicked out, have been injured just throughout the entire depth, the front line, the secondary, the linebackers. I mean, there were some good plays they made throughout the game, but overall, you just have to look at that and go, how can this be a Pac-12 defense? Realistically, no one in their right mind should ever give up 70 points in a Pac-12 game.
Well, and I mean, you can, you know, all the compliments you want. I mean, Jake Browning, 8 touchdowns he's responsible for, 2 rushing, 6 passing.
Legitimate Heisman conversation right now,
folks.
Well,
he is, and they put up his graphic on the screen. Yeah. I mean, he had 5 touchdowns per game coming into this game, and now he's got 8 in this contest.
Unbelievable.
And you see what he's doing. And his post-game interview, very different than the point you see on the first touchdown that he scores where he gets a taunting
penalty.
How about that? But very humble kid when he gets off there, seems to have the right mindset, really, you know, wants to go out there and be a team player and do everything that they can. But, boy, they couldn't stop him from doing anything.
Well, nothing. I mean, just to be able to gash every single run, Miles Gaskin's runs that he had, it was similar to what Washington State was able to do right up the middle. And these weren't zone runs this time. These were power. These are double teams. This is double team at the point with a kick out with the guard, and your fullback's coming right downhill, and there was nothing Oregon could do to stop it. They could stop the zone a little bit, but then when you did, you saw Jake Browning go over the top. You saw every option that they had was available.
At what point do we stop saying that, oh, well, you know, they're adjusting from a 4-3 to a 3-4?
You just don't have any dudes.
Yeah.
You have no dudes. When I say dudes, there's nobody out there that was able to make a play on defense.
But is that scheme? I mean, is that coaching? It's all just athletes?
It is to me, when I watch a certain game, is you go, first thing I do is when I walk out on a field or if I'm on the sideline or even as a fan, I watch out and I want to look at guys in warmups and I want to see what they look like in their uniforms and say, do we look like we have athletes? Well, yeah, Oregon, you look like you have athletes. There's been a lot of guys in history of football that look really good in their uniform or they look physically fit or they look speedy in their warmups. But when you get out on the field, you have to be able to get off a block. You have to be able to make a tackle in space. You have to play with speed. You have to play with an attitude. I didn't see any of that. And let's also state the obvious, that these guys are beat down. Mentally, they are distraught. And you could see the emotions and everything about that sideline just get sucked right out of it.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, and that is a huge factor, too. When you get beat down and you lose a game in Nebraska, and then you go ahead and you lose next week to Colorado, and then you start getting thumped by Washington State, and then Washington just absolutely comes in and just stomps on you. Emotionally, that place is gone right now.
Yeah, well, I get that,
I understand.
If you're telling me that it's mentality, it's toughness, it's going out there completely. and making the one-on-one plays, forget the scheme, and you take it down, you go person by person on that Oregon defense. If they don't have the heart to play defense, if they don't have the technique to play defense at individual positions, doesn't matter what you put together scheme, that means they're a long way from being any sort of defense. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I think that if you're hoping for defense at the Oregon level and hoping for them to be a defense like what the Huskies have now.
No, but not even that. I mean, you want to be competitive. I mean, if you say it's Brady Hoke and you say it's adjusting the scheme, if you say it's Mark Helfrich and his coaching, that means you go out and you get another coach, you bring him in, they can coach these players to be a respectable defense, not a good defense, not a great defense, just somebody that can go out there. And what we've seen from the Ducks in the last, 5 years, where you give up maybe 30 points a game, but you score 40 and you win games. You can't give up 70 points and stay with anybody. So that's the players. That means you're a long way off. That means you're 2-3 recruiting classes. And by the time you get there, who wants to go to Oregon?
Yeah. And you know what really hurts if you're watching this from the Oregon standpoint? And I've said this for 2 years now, and I'm not going to say anything that's not too obvious. You're not a defense-based school. You're based on how your offense moves the needle. And when you have three and outs, like what happened versus Oregon, and you have a couple three and outs, and then Washington's able to score, if your offense can't keep pace, your defense doesn't have any hope either, because now you're sending out a defense that goes, man, we really need a stop to keep our offense in it. Think about that mentality. Yeah. That's never been the thought process at Oregon. We need a defensive stop to keep our offense in it. It's always, no worries here. Yep. We'll let them move the ball throughout the field, but our offense is going to put up 7 here in a minute 25.
Well, it was always,
that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. And it was always the overcommitment. It's if we can get a turnover, what our offense can do with our juggernaut of an offense, we get one turnover, that flips the score by 14 points and we've won.
Right.
That was it. You could overcommit. You could let guys beat you over the top. But if you jump a screen and you get a pick, game over.
Yeah. Mental side of football is critical. And not a lot of people think of it, because you got to have confidence in both sides. It's always been confident with offense. Can't we just state that?
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what, when you think of Oregon, you go, they're going to put up points. They're going to minimum 35. They're going to put up 40. You can always feel confident that's going to happen. You just don't have confidence at all on defense that you can stop anybody. And when you roll that out there and your offense does that, at some point you're going to watch those faces just look over to the side and then go, coach, we can't stop anything.
Let's hit a couple things on the text line real quick. From the 971, they quit. Players aren't as bad as the results. Helfrich has lost the team, as you can see. Do you believe that?
No. Let's think about this. If you tell me that guys and players throughout that entire...
70 points can't be all the players. Quitting on your team, that's got to be some sort of coaching. And maybe it's part Brady Hoke as well. I mean, you go and you get rid of Don Pelham to bring in a head coach to man that defense. I mean, somewhere in the line, you got to go look at that.
Here's the other problem, too, in college football is it's different with NFL and different in other things, is that when you lose one, you're like, okay, I think we can still get this right. You lose two, you're like, all right, so we're still in it for the pack. You lose three, and you're out. Mentally, you're out. And when you're a team and you're a school that prides itself on being in the national championship conversation, the Rose Bowl conversation, you immediately start to look at it as, well, it's over. And you're getting young guys that are checking out. Mentally checking out, because you're not used to fighting for 7-4, 8-3.
But isn't that
trying to do that?
When you say young guys, I mean, yeah, I get that.
Maybe guys across the board.
Sure, but your seniors and your juniors, those are the guys that were supposed to be going in there and competing for this. But you've got young guys that you can put in, one of them being Herbert. And we'll go back to the text line for this from the 503. I did like what I saw from Herbert. He looks like he is poised in the pocket with some more time. He should be good. Now opponents let us use 18 players. But what did you like from Herbert? You put in freshmen. You've got freshmen at other positions. You've got young defenders. Troy Dye in the middle has played well, so there's a true freshman playing linebacker. Can you put in a bunch of underclassmen to kind of go around Herbert and start building for next year?
Yeah, I think Troy Dye's a great player. I think he's one of your biggest bright spots out there. He's a pass rusher. He's a very good linebacker. But you don't have a lot to build on right now. But if you do have youth, you have great front, you have young offensive linemen, you have, in my opinion, four
redshirt freshmen on the line.
You got a really good quarterback, Ducks.
Okay.
You do. You have somebody out there that looks like the part. He's physically gifted.
Looks like a Pac-12 quarterback.
He's got an arm. He's got speed. He's got the ability to make plays on the edge. That is a really big bright spot. I get it why Coach Helfrich said this, because, hey, this is the future. That young man is a future. You have to look at that. You can't just throw this away immediately and say it's done and it's over. I get the feeling of the ship is sinking. I've been on the ship. I've seen it sinking. When you lose that many games in a row, everybody is checking out, from players, from coaches, even coaches in that building.
Yeah.
Mentally, from the GAs all the way to the wives, are all in fright mode right now. And that's what happens when you lose. No matter what, even fans throughout across the board, you're going to see who has the strongest mentality and who's tough and the fortitude to battle through something like this.
Let's talk about losing a little bit more when we come back and do textual relations. We still have a case of the Mondays to get to. If Duck fans don't have a case of the Mondays going, I don't know who does. NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, a lot more on Dusty and Cam when we return. But first, this young man, Alex Crawford, he wants to tell you about sports.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
We are already fired up on the text line this morning. There are some good ones. Cam, did you have a couple that you wanted to get to there?
Well, I think that a lot of people out there that are a little bit discouraged. And, you know, that's what Mondays are for. Let's see. Just another week where the Beavers get rolled and the Ducks win. Well, wait. Beavers win. Ducks get rolled. Oregon State higher in the Pac-12 than Oregon first time since 2006.
Alex Crawford, are you hearing that? Pac-12 standings. Oregon State Beavers sitting ahead of the Oregon Ducks. How do you feel, sir?
I was glad that you said the date, 2006, because I was thinking about it on Saturday night, trying to crunch the numbers and be like, when was the last time I felt this way? It's been so long.
How old were you in 2006? Were you 15?
I was 15.
You weren't a Beaver fan then.
Drive. I was a Beaver fan then.
Oh, that's right.
Because my dad went there, so I was.
Okay.
But I couldn't even drive.
Name the quarterback in 2006.
2006. Would that have been Matt Moore, or was that post-Matt Moore?
I don't know.
I don't know. We're not going to be able to fact check that.
Okay, yeah.
That's what the internet's there for.
I don't know if that was Matt Moore, or if that was young Cam. Oh, it was Mueyvau, I think. That was La Mueyvau, right?
Sure, buddy.
Okay, all right.
We just keep saying names. All right, we'll nod our heads in here.
I was stoked on Saturday night.
Yes,
I'll tell you that.
Be.
And I watched the game with a bunch of, I was visiting my friend who works for USC. So I was watching with a bunch of USC football staffers. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're an Oregon State fan? And I was like, yeah. They're like, I hate that effing chainsaw, man. I hate that chain. And I was like,
good.
I was just, I felt good.
You felt good about that.
Yeah,
huh?
I felt good.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, I feel good.
All right. Positive. If you're feeling good, if you're feeling bad, we would love you to text in 55305. Mm-hmm. Our question for you for textual relations, and we'll start with you, Cam Cleland. What is your biggest loss, worst loss ever, personally?
Yeah, sports loss, right?
Sports loss, yeah. Personal, well, not family or anything like that, but if you had a bad day in your personal life, I'd love to hear what your worst loss is.
Yeah, you know, I've always had a lot of memories of really bad games that I've been in, or ones that kick you in the giblets. And I think that for me, you know, it was 1996 and we went out and I got the first time to ever play in Notre Dame. I got to look at Touchdown Jesus and I got to walk at the stadium and the hollowed grounds. And I walked out on the grass and it was like a foot long. And I kid you not, it was a foot long. The grass.
Yeah.
They grew that crap out like it was a foot.
Slow you down.
Yes, because that's what they do in Indiana. And we just got absolutely hammered. I think it was 55-18, just from the get-go.
They didn't put up 70 on you.
No, they didn't put up 70, but it felt like 100 because from every opportunity you looked at. And I actually personally I was called out by the coaches to have one of the guys that actually competed in the game.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, can somebody compete? So they said, actually, Cam, you actually competed, showed some effort, because a bunch of other guys just quit. I mean, we just got shellacked. And I remember getting on the bus after the game and looking around to everybody, and you would have thought everybody just had a family member die, because it was just one of those games you go, I can't believe that happened. It'll always stick in my mind of that memory, and it kind of got me going, because the next week we bounced back and kicked the crap out of UCLA. So either way, you have another chance, and that's what's great about football or sports. You always got the next time.
Yeah.
You can't just lament and just dwell on it and go misery on it.
Well, and part of something you said in there too, you go through, if you're the coaching staff, you go through and you pick out the guys that played hard and competed.
So
and you went,
true.
Hey, here's some bright spots. Let's feature these guys in the next game. And if you're an Oregon fan, you've got Cal coming up and they just fell to the Beavers. That's got to put you at least in some, you know, bright spot on your schedule. At least you're going into a stretch where there's some potential to win games. But at the same time, it's figure out who you have. And Justin Herbert's a perfect example. What do you have moving forward, you know, for next season and the year after? Because if it is this coaching staff, if it's somebody else, you better figure out who you got.
You know what losses also do to you? And I think that a lot of people understand that. We've always talked about bandwagon fans or anything. It does. It separates the true people. It also focuses on who are you inside. You know, it cleans out the crap, and you get to see someone's true personality. You get to see somebody who is. It's easy to be part of a group when you're winning. It's really easy to be on top. It feels really good. Nothing's going wrong. You can make a couple mistakes, have a bad throw, an interception, a couple missed blocks, but everything's okay. So you can still win. As soon as you lose, and then you combine that with another loss, and then you go four in a row, the claws are out from everybody. Everybody is on watch list.
Yeah.
Because from players to coaches, everybody. And you could really get to see the true meaning of how much do you really care about this sport? How much do you really care that you're there? Do you want to quit? Do you want to walk out? Is everybody just washing away? And that's one of the things that I loved about sports is you could tell immediately what type of person you are.
Sure.
Immediately.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, just kind of listening to what you're saying there, I wonder if there's an opportunity for the Ducks to look over at the Beavers and actually learn something. When you look at the way the Beavers won, I mean, you have, what, 85 yards passing for Gerritsen? Yeah. But you go out there and these guys that just compete again and again and again, and now you have an opportunity to go. I mean, it's your first Pac-12 win. We're not saying the Beavers are going to, you know, end up in the championship game or in a playoff or even in a bowl game. There's a long way to go, but when you go and every week is a gut check, that's really tough for these guys to go and play. But a kid like Ryan Nall goes out there and puts up 221 yards rushing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a big one. Trying to see if we've got anything coming through here on the text line. I'm not seeing a lot of it, but if you've got your biggest loss ever, we'd love to hear that. Mine wasn't, it wasn't actually in a game, but I remember going into my senior year, and we've had this conversation. I was a very mediocre athlete in high school. I'm about average height. I'm a below average speed. I'm played wide receiver. I had good hands, but we had a chance to play a game in the Rose Garden when it was still the Rose Garden, and it was a passing league. So 7-on-7. I was one of the starting wide receivers on the team where all we did was run the ball. All year, my junior year, I've started varsity. All I did was block. Knew the same thing going into my senior year. So the passing league was the one time you can go out and catch it. Playing in the Rose Garden, you have this. 2 days before the game, got in a car accident. Busted up my hip pretty good. Couldn't even walk 2 days before. By the time they got out there, I was just able to get out and run barely. And I went out and tried to play. I ended up playing tight end because I couldn't run fast enough to hit receiver timing. And I ended up playing a linebacker on the other side. But 3 or 4 times the ball just out of reach because I didn't have the acceleration to get there. And I just remember being so disappointed. We ordered pizza for the whole team. I just took a whole pizza by myself, walked over out away from everybody else and just sat there and ate a whole pizza. Just so disappointed not to be able to compete.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, that's the one that just kind of
sticks. You always remember that.
Yeah. And it's just
absolutely
like just that defeated feeling where you're like, I wasn't good enough. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Don't even remember the result of the game, but you just remember being so hyped for it. And it's one of those big moments. It's not Notre Dame, I grant you. But, you know, for a high school kid, it was a big deal.
Still, though, everybody's had their experiences, too, because you put it up on a pedestal and you get really psyched and excited for it.
Yep.
And
build all that hype.
Wah,
got it.
Wah.
Crawford, did you have your biggest loss?
Yeah, let's do some hot cross-country talk. No, but and I'm trying to figure out what the theme is, I guess, because for all of us, I think it's all about not being able to compete, because mine was similar. I was going into my senior year of cross-country and I've been training my ass off and was really excited, really ready, just, you know, just to have a good year. And I think you can relate to that across any sport. And I got hurt about 3 weeks before our first race. 2 weeks, I tore a muscle in my quad. So I couldn't run. I just couldn't run. And if I did run, it got worse. So I just sit out for the first 6 weeks. And that just sucked. Just watching everybody else have a good time, compete, set PRs in their run, in their races, and us winning and doing good and stuff because we had a good team. But I couldn't do anything. I just had to watch and hang out and be like, no, I want to come back, I swear.
I think you're right. That is the theme on the text line. We've got right here, A-team, I was a player on the green. Oh, no, that's the I was a top golfer on my high school team. We're getting a lot of texts coming in. It's moving down pretty quick. I was a top golfer on my high school golf team, and I broke my hand playing a pickup game of basketball right before the golf season started. RJ.
Oh, I'm so sorry, RJ.
It's just one of those.
You know you were a golfer?
Well, there you go. Well, he was before he broke his hand. Hopefully he got to keep his hand. RJ, do you still have your hand? Let us know.
My biggest material loss was...
Are you Chubbs now?
In high school, I had this really cool vintage Bo Jackson Raiders t-shirt I found at a thrift store that I wore all the time. It was like him, like a drawing of him running, this 80s shirt, and I let my girlfriend in high school borrow it. And I never got it back.
Did you lose the girlfriend and the shirt?
She never gave it back to you?
She never gave it back. So, yeah.
That's against the rules.
I know. And well, then I asked her. And
what did she say?
She very honestly told me I lost that shirt.
Yeah, it's BS.
Is that why you broke up?
No.
It'd be fantastic.
I think she also took my Sean Livingston Clippers t-shirt, too.
Oh, one more from the text line. Lost 30-1 my freshman year of JV soccer.
Ouch.
Ooh, 30-1. That's, I mean, what would that be in football?
JV.
Still 30-1.
Still though, 30-1.
I don't care if it's JV or what.
I don't care what you're doing, and
that's a beatdown.
Is anybody playing goalie?
I don't think
keeper.
Yeah, I guess
get that
so.
Right. I got yelled at the other day. It's not a goalie. It's a keeper.
That's a goalie.
It's a Who goalie. That's what I said. It's a goalie.
Who cares? Case of the Mondays when we return. More Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
Monday, Monday.
No. No, man.
So good.
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A case of the Mondays. Part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
Just another manic Monday.
Case of the Mondays MVP today is Dusty Hara. He is out sick.
Get well, my friend. I hope he's doing well. I guarantee he's asleep.
Well, good. He should be.
He better be.
Well, he probably got up to listen to me on the radio. I mean, let's be honest. How often does Luke Anderson on the morning show? I mean, it's kind of, he's probably DVRing it. He wants to watch it. Probably. Let's be honest. Wake up. He'll have tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, just try to keep that down.
Mm-hmm.
Seven up. Mm-hmm. Settles your stomach. Take a nap after that. But yeah, and then throw on what you DVR'd, which is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Luke Anderson and Cam Cleland.
Right. Here we go.
Yeah. Also on the sidelines, we've got Alex Crawford. Just making sure that I have some clue of what I'm doing.
You feeling all right today, Alex? You had a great weekend, didn't you?
I was going to say you
shouldn't have a case of the Mondays.
I don't.
You have an alfalfa growing out the back of your head, but you know what?
I'm a little tired, but I got sunburned on Saturday because I was down in Southern California.
I did too. It was 75 degrees at kickoff.
Oh, so it was good.
It was hot.
So we all got some sun.
Yeah.
So we're all high on vitamin D this morning.
Good.
Yes. Very
so
exciting.
No case of the Mondays
no
for
case
you?
Of the Mondays?
Honestly, not real. I'm tired because I got in super late last night. And then when we're landing, this always scares me. They're like, we have to have everybody put their tray tables up, seat rights in the upright position, seatbelts on ASAP. We're hitting some heavy rains and turbulence going into Portland. So just get ready. We're going to have some bad turbulence. Brace yourselves. Well, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like,
I hate that.
I'm kind of hungover. It's Sunday. I'm kind of like anxious now.
Yeah.
I'm like, but then nothing.
That's fine. That's your mistake. You shouldn't be hungover on a plane. You should still be drunk. I don't care what you were doing.
Well, I had to show up here. I barely made it as it was. So.
Barely, because I'm calling you.
So I was scared. I was like, dude, and I'm looking out and it's raining and I'm thinking about the movie like Flight. With Denzel Washington, I was thinking about that Sully movie.
I don't watch those kind of movies.
And I'm like,
does he do the barrel roll coming into for landing?
Well, I'm just thinking about him being drunk, and I'm like, dude, I hope this isn't happening right now.
Say again, if you're a little drunk,
then
that
you're
doesn't
like,
happen.
I feel
the worst. The worst flight experience you should have is my buzz was starting to wear off. That's as acceptable
as
a level.
Came in.
Yeah,
but no, there was no turbulence, so it was great.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. The worst landing I ever had, a perfectly smooth landing into Las Vegas, and then we ran over a luggage cart on the way to the terminal and to sit on the tarmac for like 2 hours.
That's horrible.
Yeah, and it's when I was living in Vegas, so I had an afternoon bartending shift.
And you're like, hey, I'm still on the plane.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm on the plane. They're like, how are you calling from the plane? We're just sitting on the tarmac.
You ran over. Was the luggage cart guy okay?
I don't know. I don't care. I just wanted to get to where I was going. I assumed that he was, but yeah, apparently we were in a dangerous zone. So as far as I know, nobody died, but
a dangerous zone.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're in the middle of the tarmac and there's planes taking
That's
off
a good,
and landing.
That is dangerous.
So we're in the danger zone.
I mean, very
danger
much
zone
so.
Is what I should have said. I said dangerous zone, and there's a perfect Top Gun reference there. I screwed that up. Portland, I'm sorry. We'd love to hear your case of the Mondays. Well, Cam, do you have a case of the Mondays?
I don't, but I wanted to read this one. This coming in from P1 Dustin. This was earlier. It said, case of the Mondays. I'm helping teach a, help me with this word, phlebotomy class today.
You got it. Yeah, buddy.
We have the students pair up. Oh. Gosh dang it when that moves around. I told you,
it's a little difficult. I'm used to the Saturday show where we get a handful of tests. But
so when the students pair up, one is not going to be there today, so I get stabbed by a scared student today. Should be fun. But he said my Beavs won, so I got that going for
me. Well, this one on the text line as well. 55305, if you've got your case of the Mondays. Cubs fan here. My Monday sucks because demigod Bumgarner is pitching tonight.
Demigod.
And somehow he'll pitch the rest of the series and not allow a run. The Giants come back and win the series.
That sucks.
Well, you know what? That is a perfect highlight of my perspective of Cubs fans. They're just waiting for the world to fall in on top of them, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah. And that might happen.
Sure, that will happen.
Oh, of course.
When you're a Cubs fan, naturally.
Well, sure. But yeah, just.
I like the Cubs this year, though. I like them. I like the Cubbies.
Oh, I don't think you want to play. I don't think you want to play the Blue Jays right now. Boy, coming in hot.
Yeah.
Six straight wins. You had to finish the regular season with back-to-back wins to get into the playoffs. Then you have the wild card. Then you get three in a row coming in. The last two World Series champions have been wild card winners.
I'll tell you what. I don't have a case of the Mondays, but I do have a quick story. So we're driving back on I-5, which, by the way, traffic was fantastic. Not really. But it still wasn't as bad as it could have been because there might have been a few people leaving early from the game.
Yeah.
Traffic wasn't that bad. And we sit around and we had some leftover KFC in the back of the trunk. So we just
nice, like nibbled on warmer. Some, you have 75 degrees. And it's like
nibbled
it's
like on a, some KFC to kill the time after the win.
The Cleveland's keep better, heating lamps in their trunks.
So nothing better than it. Like 95 degrees to grow bacteria I'm on telling fried you what, chicken.
It's good beautiful. Call. You know, it's amazing what you'll eat after a football game. When you're hungry and you're in the middle of the, it was the forest where we parked. Anyway, it cost $30.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a raping that is. Anyway, so we're driving back and we're on I-5 and we pull over. I think it was exit 288 where you go to Corvallis. I think it's 286 or something like that. And there's a, I don't know, if you're talking of the eastbound and down to be the choke and puke, that's what you sure. call them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you pull over and there's an A&W and I go in there and all I want is a little freeze. That's all I want.
Okay.
And there's a duck fan in front of me. And I go, excuse me, have you ordered yet? Yeah. You're going to have to wait in line.
And you're wearing purple head dust, to toe, I assume.
Oh, yeah. You just immediately, yeah. Huskies suck. And then there was some bad words after that. And I'm just staring at this guy. And I just went, all right, yeah, what, I'm just going to let it go. I have to let it go.
Give me the that size point. And the build of this young it, man that decided it, this was a good idea to.
Well,
to
unfortunately, it was a female.
Okay, well, that's
and
fair.
That's even worse.
Yeah, not much you can do.
She had some tattoos and a few piercings. So I went, I'm just going to let that go.
Typical duck fan.
Not, I'm not stereotyping now.
No,
she
thing?
Was really bitter because I asked her if she had ordered yet, but she hadn't ordered. Yeah. So I had to wait another 10 minutes for a dang freeze, for God's sake. So either way. We got back on the road and we made it home safely.
Yeah. If there's any Duck fans that want to call in with your case of the Mondays, I would love to hear the perspective on that. I'm kind of a neutral party in this game. My brother has adopted the Ducks as his school because his wife went there. He didn't attend, but he's kind of embraced one of these, what do you call them? The new generation of Duck fans that don't necessarily have a direct affiliation with the mm-hmm. school. They find anything they can and then just go in with all their fervor. His entire wardrobe now has an O on it. It's all some fluorescent yellow and green. There's a few of those out there. Great people, in my experience.
Yeah.
Just the best of the best. But if there's any of those that would like to call in, I'd love to hear your Case of the Mondays. Case of the Mondays. Anyone who is a San Diego Chargers fan.
Ooh.
Boy, they know how to lose football games, don't they? They just go out there and they're competitive in all four losses. They've had the lead at some point in the second half.
That's San Diego.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah. It's 75 and sunny every day. What's your motivation?
Fair point. I mean, it's obviously not to stay in San Diego. Next year, they're playing Los Angeles. Is there any question about that?
That's a great question. If they approve, I don't know, $1.8 billion, that's enough to put just the seat cushions in San Diego, California costs.
Sure, but if the players are that disinterested, I can't imagine how the fans feel. And this is not the season to generate a bunch of, like, you know, big momentum swings and checks being written and you know, levies being passed. I don't think this is really going to happen. It's not looking good for San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, my case of the Mondays, I really don't have one, except for I could say that, you know, I get the call from you yesterday afternoon. Hey, Dusty's sick. Love to have you come in. Thank you. Appreciate it. That sounds great. Hey, what time do you want me to meet you there? 5 a.m.?
I almost said quarter to five, but I said that extra 15 minutes will really get you up.
I really do appreciate that. So that's about as close as I can get, but very glad to be here. Happy to join you, gentlemen. So thank you, everybody, for texting in with that. Keep them coming throughout the Monday. Also, if you want to play along with our textual relations throughout the day, 55305, let us know your worst loss ever. Whether it's in competition, whether it's your Bo Jackson t-shirt that your girlfriend stole from
you. I've got another one I'll tell you guys
broke
later.
Broke your heart, stole your shirt.
I've got another one that's the third one. I think that is, as a fan, my biggest loss.
Ooh. Okay.
Like the that. Loss that devastated me as a fan the most. I thought of it and it made me feel something.
You know, I was reading an article of Sean Alexander talking about that 2005 season when they lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Mm. And he said he was having a conversation with Eric Dickerson and Barry Sanders about that year. And he reminded them that he took 9 quarters where he didn't play because they were thumping people so bad during that season. Sean Alexander just took it off, still broke the touchdown record,
right.
Was an absolute beast. You get to the Super Bowl, you see very little Sean Alexander. You see a couple questionable calls
from
the officials.
Oh,
I don't want to get into that because that's a whole nother thing. Oh. But yeah, as a fan, I'm sorry. Yeah, Super Bowl 40, was it? That was a tough one.
It was in Detroit. What did I
it was in Detroit.
It was in Detroit.
And it's against Pittsburgh. The whole thing was awful.
And Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. It was all set
anyway,
up.
Anyway, so keep those coming. 55305. We'd love to hear your case of the Mondays. Love to hear your textual relations all day. There's a lot more Dusty and Cam to return. We got to get to the NFL. We got to get to the MLB playoffs. More to come on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.